All right. So joining us now, we have Matt Letusky, the Fantasy Football Insider for the Sporting News. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's going good until I have to start picking my team soon. So, you know, where do I start? I mean, when you have a team in our league, we do 6 points for any touchdown, whether you're throwing it or rushing it or returning it or whatever. So, you know, you think you want to pick quarterbacks, but they may not necessarily be the case, right?
No, I mean, actually, sort of the trend now is to really wait on quarterbacks because there's so many good ones. You know, the difference when you really break it down between, say, like the number 13 quarterback and the number 5 quarterbacks, usually only a couple points a week. There's a lot to go around. So really, you know, the trend had always been you pick running backs early, you get those guys because there aren't that many of them and they do so much and blah, blah, blah. But now we're seeing so many running backs get hurt. We're seeing so many more committee situations with a lot of teams. This year, anyway, the trend's really wide receiver. We're seeing like 6 or 7 wide receivers going in the first round now, which he really never saw before. You know, I always say there's no one way to build a team. You can go a lot of different ways. You're just looking for the best players. You score the most points usually. But it seems like this is kind of the year of the wide receiver.
Yeah, I think you got to start with a good team name and hopefully a group of people you don't hate in your league and some good crap talking that's going on. And then picking the team is sometimes I have a league where I pick my team, and then I have 2 leagues that we do the auto pick because you have some like kids in it and stuff that I'm doing with my daughter and some of her friends. And sometimes those auto picks, not so bad until you get like 3 kickers in a row.
No, I mean, you're right. It's funny how, you know, it's so easy to overthink things when you're doing the draft. And obviously people let, you know, their own biases come in, teams they like or players they like, and they want play. I heard you saying, you know, I don't want to pick players from my own team. I don't want to do the kiss of death on them. People do that stuff. If you just let a computer pick your team for you, you might get it and look at it and say, well, that's terrible. That guy's going to be terrible. And then he's good. It's not a bad idea. Just play it out after that. It definitely, you know, I think the draft's actually the most fun part of the fantasy season, so I wouldn't want to take that part away from myself. But in terms of the actual, now I have a team and I just got to go from there. Everyone's kind of in the same boat. Yeah, I don't mind it.
Wait, hold on a second. You're a fantasy football expert, and the most fun you have is the draft. It's not winning your league every year. Do you not win your league every year?
If I won my league every year, yeah. But no, I mean, the draft, though, is when you feel smart. It's the last moment of a fantasy season you feel smart because you haven't been proven wrong yet, right? Every pick you've made, you can make an argument for it being the best pick of the draft. It's once week one starts and that guy you thought was a surefire sleeper gets 2 carries or, you know, someone tears his ACL or something. That's when it just all goes downhill from there.
So do you play in any leagues where, like, the loser has to get, like, a tattoo or do a Miley Cyrus wrecking ball video?
No, I don't, and I couldn't imagine doing that. That would just be, you know, hang like the you know, the sword of Damocles over me all year if I wasn't having a great year, and I would probably spare no expense to not finish in last place. I just think that wouldn't be fun. But you know, hey, it seems like there's a lot of people who do that, and they enjoy it. So more power to them, I guess.
Well, I can't believe that as a fantasy football expert, you don't win your league every year. That would be like having a golf shop radio show and not being any good at golf.
Yeah, same thing, right? I mean, what are the odds?
He's making fun of himself.
He'd be shooting birdies every hole, right?
All right, so I'm looking at the rankings, and they're all pretty much the same no matter what service you look at. I think these guys, the algorithms become more and more alike even if they try to throw something in. And like you're saying, right now the wide receiver seems to be the coveted position. And then despite the change, the move away from heavy running games, you've got guys like Adrian Peterson and Todd Gurley and even Ezekiel Elliott, a rookie, running backs that are, you know, sort of in the top 10, top 15, depending on what league you're looking at. What's the biggest mistake you see people make if they have that like first to fifth pick in their leagues? And what are they doing? Should they be thinking like an actual NFL owner or coach and see if they can trade out of that and stockpile stuff later with their guys, or do those tend to be lock, stock and barrel picks you have to make?
Yeah, I think if you're talking about the top half of the first round, you almost can't make a mistake. Okay. Unless you really get cute. You know, maybe if you take a quarterback, obviously Cam Newton, hey, he outscored everyone last year by a lot of points. It's just when you compare, you know, but then again, so did Blake Bortles. You know, quarterbacks are always going to score the most points. So, you know, you almost can't screw up. You really can't. You just kind of, if you just kind of stick to that, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Todd Gurley, you know, maybe AP, David Johnson, you're going to be fine. It's when you try to get a little too cute with it. You try to be too different. You know, I think this year Rob Gronkowski is a top five pick. That's something you normally don't say about tight ends. I think he's in there at least top 10, even with the Brady suspension. But, you know, you definitely want to keep that pick because ultimately you need stars. Like superstars, they're going to win fantasy leagues as much as, you know, the guys you get off the waiver wire and things like that. Having a good, reliable superstar is huge too. So yeah, I mean, if you're in the top five, you're feeling really good. It's when you pick 11, pick 12, and you got those two quick picks that you see people maybe reach because they say, look, it's going to be 20 picks until my third round pick, so I really want to make sure I get a quarterback here. I want to be sure to get one of my running backs, and then you're not getting great value at wide receiver. That's when you can get into trouble.
All right, again, we're talking with Fantasy Football Insider, the Sporting News, Matt Latusky. And Matt, when we start talking about, we know Chalk, we know the Browns, the Beckhams, the Gronks, you know, Dez Bryant. Give me some good sleeper picks that I'm looking at middle rounds to kind of, you know, maybe be that second wide receiver, that third running back, or that flex player, or maybe even a guy that I'm using on bye weeks when some of my top guys are out. Give me some of those guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of them this year because we have a lot of interesting rookie receivers and a lot of second-year receivers who I think are pretty good, including some who like didn't play last year, like Rashad Perriman in Baltimore and a Kevin White with the Bears. Sammy Coates, I really like him in Pittsburgh. He's a guy who barely played last year. Philip Dorsett with the Colts. There's a ton of those types of receivers who I think are really interesting. And then, like, rookie receivers, Michael Thomas with the Saints, we kind of know what their offense can do. Sterling Shepard with the Giants, he's gotten a lot of buzz, too. So a lot of receivers to look at. You know, running back's always tough because if you're talking about a legit sleeper at running back, that probably means that someone needs to get hurt ahead of the guy. And you never know when that's going to happen. Interesting guy right now, Kenyon Barner with the Eagles, is really moving up their depth chart, and we know Ryan Matthews, their starter, is not someone who stays healthy. I like Paul Perkins. He's a rookie with the Giants. That's a running game that's a mess every year, even though there's a couple guys ahead of him on the depth chart. And then there's always that interesting phenomenon where, you know, you have kind of a guy, we go into the year and think, well, this is an established running back. He's the team starter. And by week two, he's just not. He didn't get hurt or anything. It's just, oh, why is, you know, Christine Michael getting carries and not Thomas Rawls in Seattle? I don't know. But it happens every year. So that's great, middle to the latter part of your draft. Stock up on some of those. You know, they're not even really handcuffs. They're more just complimentary guys. Like I said, Christine Michael. I think Kadeem Carey in Chicago. I don't think, that job, Jeremy Langford has really locked down that job. I like Mike Gillisley in Buffalo, too, just because LeSean McCoy had some injury problems. Spencer Ware, I think, Kansas City. Jamal Charles coming off his second torn ACL. I don't know. I think there's a lot of guys like that to watch this year, too. Could be interesting.
Well, when you get to that tier two, though, one of the places that I'm going to be looking, I think, and maybe you will advise me to do something different. I mean, Carlos Hyde is the only San Francisco player that even is near the top 15 in any of the projections. But San Francisco is going to run a lot of offensive plays. I wouldn't take their defense. They're going to run a lot of offensive plays with Chip Kelly. Should we be paying more attention to what they're doing? Yeah, they may not win. They may not be great, but they are going to run a lot of offensive plays. Should we be looking at them?
Yeah, I think so. You know, someone from that team, one of the receivers, I don't know who for sure, you know, but Torrey Smith's a big play guy. Bruce Ellington has had a nice camp so far, maybe one of their tight ends. But you're right, they run a ton of plays, and it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be efficient, but people are going to be getting stats there. And Hyde, obviously, is their best player. We know that, but he's not proven, you know, he hasn't been able to do it for a full year, either be effective or stay healthy. I like him. I think he's going to be one of those guys people are going to get as one of the higher-end RB2s who could maybe play higher. But he's another guy, if you draft him, you're going to want to get his backup. Someone's going to want to get his backup. Right now it looks like it's going to be Sean Drahan, but they have a couple other guys. You know, Mike Davis had the big game last week, at first preseason game. So that's a situation to watch throughout the preseason, really hone in on who that number two back is there, because there probably will be an opportunity for that person.
All right, well, we're sitting here with our listenership across the Carolinas, and I would imagine that a lot of folks are wanting to pick up Cam Newton no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. A good pick with their heart. But he's not ranking that high overall. He's in the 30s and some low 20s in other rankings. Can you wait until the second round and get Cam Newton anywhere in the Carolinas?
Well, yeah, in the Carolinas is the key to that sentence, right? I don't
right.
know about in the Carolinas, but you know, he's our number one quarterback. He's really the number one or number two quarterback, I think, almost everywhere you look. If it's not him, it's Aaron Rodgers. To me, he's safely the number one guy. But again, it's just sort of that reflection of there's so many good quarterbacks. Like, if you can get Phillip Rivers in the 10th round, am I really going to use a second-round pick or even a first-round pick on Cam Newton? It just doesn't seem the best way to spend your resources. So, yeah, if you're getting him in the 3rd round, now you feel a lot better about things. So that's why you see him in the 30s overall on rankings. But, yeah, you know, when you're talking about local fans and where he's going to go, I think, yeah, he's probably going to go in the 1st round of a lot of drafts around here. And, you know, as much as everyone probably wants him and wants him on their team, because he's about as consistent as it gets in fantasy right now. Obviously, getting Kelvin Benjamin back, you'd like to think he's only going to be better. He's a great guy to have on your team. There's no getting around it. But ultimately, you got to think about that whole draft and everything you can put together. And that person who takes Cam Newton in the 1st round might be scrambling for a running back, you know, come week 2 or week 3.
All right, last question before we let you go. I'm looking at defensives, and, you know, it's interesting. Denver, I'm looking at points. Denver had the most points last year. Kansas City had the 2nd most points. Denver's ranked 1 in the ranking I'm looking at. Kansas City's down in the middle of the pack. I mean, who do we look at? Who are, like, the top 3 defenses to grab if you're looking for to get a defense early in the draft?
Well, you know, first of all, I don't advise getting a defense early in the draft, but everyone kind of says that, and then people do it. Someone's got to be the first one to draft a defense,
right.
Let's be honest. But, yeah, I like Denver. I like Arizona. I like Seattle. Carolina's right there, too. To me, those 4 – almost have an equal claim to be the number one defense. And Houston would be there, too. This J.J. Watt injury, though, has them, man, it's a little precarious with them. They're moving down a little bit. But I think any of those 4, you can make a very strong case for. You know, they do the things you want. They get sacks, and they make big plays, and they you know, can limit points, too. Sometimes touchdowns for defenses are fluky, and that's why you might see a team be pretty high at the end of 1 year and not that highly ranked the next year, because you kind of know that's going to even out. But the teams that sort of just play good defense in general, have playmakers in the secondary and get sacks, they're probably going to be there year in and year out, barring injury. So those 4 teams I really like if you are going to invest in the defense early.
All right, Matt. Well, good luck over the next couple weeks being proven a genius instead of a moron. And we appreciate having you joining us this morning to give us a little bit of fantasy insight.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thank you.